All right, we are live on YouTube. Are we YouTubers right now?
Yeah, we're on the HMB Radio YouTube.
You know, I saw someone on Bumble, and on their bio, it said that they were like a YouTuber, and I scoffed at them.
Why? They're probably doing very well.
I know, and I was just like, God, what a loser. But then I'm like, you know what? Maybe not, because that's what everybody is doing, and some of the most successful people that I know that are self-made have like millions of followers on YouTube, you know? So maybe I'm just being a little bit too judgmental, which definitely can be the case.
Yep.
How was your weekend, Will? You were telling me that just before you got home, that you went to your dad's house and had a little bit of a gathering.
Yes, a very socially distant gathering, distant in more ways than one.
Yeah, more emotionally aloof gathering. Yeah. That's what I want it for. That's what I like. Social distance is really emotional distance for me. Please get away from me. But you said that, and hopefully, I hope I'm not disclosing personal family information, but here we go. We can always, you know, delete this. But you were saying that your uncle's wife, who I guess is your aunt, she recently tried to commit suicide? Attempted?
She did, yeah. You know how she did it?
Or attempted, right? Obviously, she's
attempted.
Not dead.
She's alive. You know how she did it?
How?
She drank antifreeze.
You know, antifreeze is also in Fireball. Did you know that?
No, it's an ingredient that's in antifreeze, isn't Fireball. Okay. Not quite that, but right, yeah.
I know, I understand. But it was kind of funny in a morbid and dark kind of way when you said that she tried to commit suicide. You know, if you would have told me this about 6 months ago, I would have been like, Jesus, you know, she has mental issues. She'd probably get some help or whatnot. And this time I was kind of like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Like, that totally makes sense. Why did she do it? Do we know?
I think she's just crazy. I think she's just got a little bit of a... She's a very strange individual. She's very smart. She has a very high IQ. She's a doctor.
Okay.
So she... I don't know. Something must have happened to her. Apparently, she wasn't always like this, but she's very shy, very sheepish.
Okay.
And she looks at me. The way she looks at me makes me very uncomfortable.
How is that look?
It's either I want to murder you, or I want to have intercourse of a sex variety.
Or both.
With me. Maybe both, perhaps.
Sometimes they're not mutually exclusive.
That's true. That is true, yeah. So, I don't know. It always makes me uncomfortable. So, I can't sit too long at the table while she's there.
Does she make incessant eye contact and she doesn't break it?
She just doesn't break it. Yeah. And I'm like waiting for her to break it. I'll look away, hoping that when I look back, she's looking away. No.
Yeah. I feel like that is a quality of a psychopath, you know?
There is something going on there. I don't know what it is, but she is back. She failed in suicide, thankfully, you know? So she joined us for a little bit today. She never stays very long.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to just stop by my uncle. His wife, and they'll, you know, eat, and then they leave.
And then they leave. Can you adjust the volume?
Sure. Something? Up or down?
A little up. But
is that you?
I feel like it's not as full as it was before. There it is. That's nice.
Okay.
I like that. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just kind of funny because now when I hear people, you know, want to kill themselves, I honestly don't think anything is wrong with them. I'm like, yeah, I get that. That makes perfect sense. Everything's gone to shit. Life isn't good anymore. You feel like there's nothing to look forward to. The little interaction that you had at the water cooler, you know, in the break room at work is now gone. You haven't seen those people in 6 months. And you almost miss hating them. You know what I mean? You would enjoy somewhat talking shit about other people, gossiping. You know, at least when you would see people and you'd hate them, it would give you energy and make you feel alive. You'd at least look forward to being angry. I know that seems unusual to say, but I really feel that way. I enjoy, like, seeing people. When I get angry, it gives me energy. I know we've talked about this at some point before, but I somewhat enjoy being angry.
Oh, yeah. I get a lot done when I'm angry or upset.
You're more productive.
I talk to comedians tend to have this attribute where I talked to Johnny about this before, and they tend to be off. There's always something going on with them. They're angry. They're depressed. They're mentally ill. There was only one person, comedian locally here, that said, no, I'm normal and I'm happy.
I know who that person is.
Yeah, it's a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah, someone I maybe even went out with once or twice.
You did? Well, now I don't know if I should say his name or not.
No, don't say his name. Don't say his name. He might listen.
Johnny knows him and is good friends with him, and he goes, he's out of his mind. What is he talking about? So he was lying, I guess.
Yeah, I can attest, and if this person is listening, they know who they are, but that person has lots of issues. You know, just because you grow up in a good family and a loving home doesn't mean that you're not going to go through some stuff that's going to F you up later, because that's going to happen. Look at me. I came from a great family, and I'm a mess. You know what I mean?
Are you? Can,
yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. You briefly mention, and we were talking before we started recording, you started telling me about you had a drink with a woman, and before you even started telling me the story, I said, just shut up and let's save it for the air, like we like to do. So why don't you go ahead and tell me about this?
Well, so it was a person I've actually talked to her. I guess known her. Can you know somebody without hanging out with them? But it's somebody you match with on the app. And then, I mean, there's people, I don't know if you have this, that you speak to on app or on Snapchat or on Instagram or on text, but you've never met. I don't know if
that happens.
Phenomenon.
That's happened multiple times. Can you adjust the it? Okay. No, that's me. Never mind. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So, and this was one of those where it's been years, and I found out. I finally, frankly, as a joke, asked her if she would like to go have a drink, because I assumed that she would say no.
And you've never met this person in person.
Never met her in person. Okay. We have mutual friends.
Okay.
But no, we've never met in person. We exchanged Snapchats, and that's about the extent that this relationship has been.
Mm-hmm.
And she agreed to go have the drink. So I was like, oh, F. Honestly, I was kind of like, damn it. I don't really want to do this.
Was it just because you felt like you should? Like, you feel
like once in a while.
You should push yourself to do things that you don't maybe feel comfortable doing because you feel like it's good for your soul or something.
Well, I think I should date people.
Yes.
I really have a hard, it's tough. And I know you kind of have the same thing. But now with your new schedule, you're up very early, so you can't really go out at night. I can't go out at night in the evening during the week. I'm at work by 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And so it's just not feasible to do that, to do the normal dating thing that people do. It's really hard to build any sort of relationship because you don't have the time to put in order to, like, seeing somebody just once a week, that's really not going to do it. You can't do that.
To be honest with you, I got time. I would just have to be creative about it. But, I mean, I feel like that I could make it work. But I want you to tell me about this date because I, too, went out on a date.
Oh, did you?
This weekend. And it's been a whole year, Will, at least 1 year since I've been taken out and courted like the lady that I am. So tell me about your drink. I want to hear about it.
So I told, I told you a little bit outside before we kind of got into this conversation. I go, look, if you are this age in your 30s, there's usually a reason why you're single. It could have to do with your job, which I think that's my problem. But the more I look into it, that's probably not true. I'm a mental patient as well. I have my own quirks and my own troubles and stuff that are bothering me. So while I think I am completely normal, much like the person we named earlier, I could be a total lunatic.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there's a reason. I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I don't want people to conflate this with me thinking I'm like some sort of spiritual person or religious person, because I'm not. But everything happens due to a reason. You know what I mean? Like, people get in relationships because they want to be in a relationship, or they met at a party, or it was, you know what I mean? Like, there's luck. There's lots of different things that can contribute.
Let's get into the shot here.
My
there you go.
Gross
perfect.
Face. Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, much better.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with you if you're not in a relationship. Now, there can be, absolutely, for sure. But a lot of times people are in relationships and then they fall out of them. And then you're 35 and maybe you were in a relationship for 7 years, whatever. And now you're broken up and you have to start all over again and you don't even know how to act anymore. I know that I feel a little autistic, especially not dating a year and then being in a pandemic. And I will give you an example of this after I stop cutting you off and let you tell me about your date. So
oh,
go ahead.
Right, sorry, right, sorry. Right. Well, I mean, it was fine. I actually had a very nice time with this person. Nice. She was very sweet, very nice. But you can tell sometimes that there's something off. And it, just like I said, you know, there's always a reason that somebody is on the market at this age. Either they go through a divorce or there's perhaps children involved and it's hard to find another mate with kids, or somebody who's understanding that they have kids, right, or perhaps they're a complete mental patient. I don't know. And I had a very nice time with this one. Now, probably
how
actually,
old is she?
She's 30, in her early 30s.
Good.
Yeah. She's our age.
Children?
No children.
Good.
Yes.
Attractive?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. Will, this might be your soulmate. Like, What went wrong? Because I can tell
nothing went wrong.
Your body language.
Everything went great during the time, but I have a very good people reader. I have a very good spider sense.
Lefty liberal.
Yes. Okay. But not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm totally fine with that. Doesn't bother me too much.
No, but if they're unwilling to tolerate your ideas and beliefs, then we run into issues.
They are. If they like you enough, they will totally throw out their ideology in that scenario. Most people will. So even if those people, I used to do the thing like if you support Trump, which I'm not supporting anybody this election, but I used to go, oh, if you voted for Trump, then swipe on me. And I'd be like, oh, frig off. Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Yeah.
But now I go, it doesn't matter because I want to test this theory of what they think that they are.
Mm.
And if they would really throw away, like if you went out with somebody and you were having a great time and you had so much in common, then you found out that they voted for the candidate that you do not like, if you would really throw all that away for your ideology. Maybe. I think there are some fundamentalists mm-hmm. out there that probably would,
mm-hmm.
but the vast majority would not. They would just go, okay, well, he voted for the guy I don't like, but he's really nice otherwise, and he's handsome and cute mm-hmm. and whatever, so I'm willing to deal with that.
And you're going to be the handsome and cute guy that makes them shake their ideology.
Maybe not me, but somebody. But I used to just go on principle alone. Like even if they said, like, if you're not voting for Trump, screw off, I had that same feeling of how dare you, screw you.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's not just like Trump or whatever. It's just anybody who says that their ideology is so much more important. It's like you're on a dating site. You're 35. You don't have the time
to be that picky.
Now,
don't you find that to be unattractive that people are so dismissive? Or do you okay?
Yeah, that's why
I've seen a few guys, not many, but a few guys say something like, you know, if you support Trump, swipe left or something, which I think that they do because they think women are into that, you know what I mean? And so that will be some sort of bonding, thing that they'll have with a woman on the other end of the dating app. But I find that to be just so unattractive that they're just like, oh, swipe left if you ever, because like there's so many good people who are Democrats and so many good people who are Republicans and everywhere in between. And you're going to be just so dismissive on something. So what I think is superficial. So.
Get a life, Jews.
Correct.
I agree.
So tell me, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I just don't buy it. I know that there's a lot of signaling out there that people like to do on the apps, and men could not care any less.
Yeah.
They are totally doing that to signal that they are a good human being, that they would never vote for this monster.
Yeah.
I'm one of the good guys. I won't rape you, even though those, I think, are the men that would probably do the raping. A lot of those men who signal those things. It's like the Maggie Thatcher quote that goes something along the lines, paraphrasing here, power is like being a lady. If you need to tell people you are, you aren't.
Right.
You know?
And you know what's really interesting is I actually, and maybe this is just me being like hyper observant, but I think I've seen it more on Bumble than I have on Hinge. And I think that is because women have to make the first move on Bumble.
Mm,
so maybe if they can evoke enough of an emotional response in the woman to be like, yeah, fuck Trump, I'm going to reach out to this guy and we'll have that sort of thing in common right off the bat, that might be a good strategy to put on Bumble where the woman has to reach out first versus Hinge where either or could reach out.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Guys don't care. And to be honest with you, I actually kind of did the same sort of experiment as you. I saw this guy who said something like, I'll never date a Trumper or something. And I just matched with him, you know, just to see. And I was kind of messing with him. And I was like, we were talking about stuff and I was being really reasonable and I was asking him questions. And I could tell he was like intrigued. And I go, well, so about the Trump thing. And then we start talking about it and he starts backpedaling real quick. I checked his bio like the day or two later. It was gone.
Gone.
So I messaged him about it. I go, hey, I noticed that the Trump thing is gone. He goes, yeah, I realize that, you know, it's I could be dismissing people that could be really cool. Mm. Like you. I'm like, correct.
Yes. Yeah,
and then he asked me to hang out and I ignored him. So it was great.
Oh, good. You got some.
It all worked out.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's beautiful. And that's a perfect example of that. And that's my theory with how these men operate. But because they know it's probably beneficial to them. I would say most women on these apps are probably left-leaning, hate Trump, into pop culture, and they're not. It's safer to say,
oh, 100%.
Bait the worm that I'm against. I don't like the things that you also don't like. And of course, ones will come up where that won't be the case, but and they'll change their beliefs on a
dime. Like if you move to Nashville or something. I don't know. I'm just assuming.
No, Nashville's very, very left.
Okay, yeah. Well, more rural, Lakeland or something like that. That might be a bit more rural. Yeah. Whereas, like, you're in St. Petersburg. We have the second largest gay pride parade, and I'm not trying to assume and say all gay people are left, but I mean the vast majority of them are. So yeah. You know what I mean.
We did lose video on YouTube, so if you're watching, sorry about that.
Sorry, two people.
sorry, two folks. Yeah. Apologies, but you'd still hear us, I think. Which is good. I have to invest in a camera. I've done some tests this week. I did a stream on Saturday. I mean, this thing's useless that I got. The GoPro sucks. It doesn't stay charged. And I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and get a better webcam or something.
Okay. So tell me about how this day resolved.
Day resolved? I mean, like, it was...
Did you
got
see
a hug.
This lady again?
I think I would. Yeah, I enjoyed
it. Why are you so reticent? I'm reading a lot of reticence from you. You're not jazzed about this. You look somewhat distressed.
I talked to her today. I'm afraid she's going to hear this and then
be mad. Well, she probably will be, but go on.
Okay. I could just tell there's something going on with her. And then you find out, oh, she's on antidepressants and she's on benzos and you go,
okay. So there was a spidey sense was kind of going off a little bit.
Spidey sense was tingling. And then, you know, you find these things out. She had told me that she was planning a brunch the next day, having some friends over. And, I'd sent her a message today. We went back and forth and, I was like, well, maybe we can, you know, hang out later or whatever. And she just went, okay. And I was like, well, don't sound too excited.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of being goofy. She goes, sorry, I'm just in a bad mood. And I went, well, why? What happened? She was like, oh, well, I got drank too much at my brunch. And apparently I got very teary-eyed and I don't remember it.
A brunch?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's something going on there. But she's on antidepressants. She's on benzos. If you drink on those things, you're going to get...
You're just destroyed. She didn't tell you that she's on those, but you're assuming she is.
No, I she told me she was on the benzos. I didn't know about the antidepressants. Okay. I guessed, and she confirmed that she was.
That you were correct.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. And I have plenty of experience. I took antidepressants. My family members take them. So I'm very familiar with
the side effects
and the conditions that are being portrayed.
Sure. I, too, went out on a date this weekend. First in about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just show you where my head's at before we met, because this is really frightening. He suggests a place. I say that's totally fine. And on my way there, probably about an hour before I'm supposed to meet him, I go, also, can we confirm what type of greeting is acceptable? Handshake? Elbow bump? Awkward side hug? Because if I go in for the hug and you go for the elbow and there's an awkward exchange, it will haunt me for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And that was a real legitimate concern for me, because I'm like, first of all, that greeting is uncomfortable. Forget about a pandemic. Just in general, you're like,
you never know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And then now with like people wearing masks and you don't know if people are going to be, you know, uncomfortable with, you know, getting close face to face. We're probably not going to be wearing a mask. What's going on? It ended up being fine, and it was cool, but...
What did you do? How did you greet?
A hug. He's a funny guy. So he was like, okay, we're going to hug for 6 seconds. You have to be the one to let go first, sort of thing. So
you hugged?
Yeah,
did
we hugged.
Did you have a mask on?
No, I don't give a fuck, dude. I'm over it. Right. So we go, and we're at this place, and it was cool. And while we're there... He discloses that he is a smoker.
Smoker of marijuana.
No.
Crack.
Ciggies. Worse. I know. I'm so glad that you have that reaction, because you know me. I'm very opinionated, but I also have a lot of self-doubt and low self-esteem.
Sure.
So I immediately like have an opinion, and then I go, am I being a jerk? Am I being unreasonable? Those things, which is unusual, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but I think that that's an unusual combination, because usually people who are very opinionated always think they're right and they're very defensive. I'm not like that because I hate myself. So I'll be very opinionated at first and then I go, wait, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the weird one. So we go, he discloses that he smokes and he could tell by my reaction. I go, oh,
mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. And yeah. At this point I'm not drunk. So I'm like, I'm being as nice as I can. And I'm trying to be a good actress because usually when I'm drunk, it's all just going to be out, you know, in the open.
Right.
So he says, yeah, I smoke. And I could tell he wanted to say something else. I go, let me guess. Only when you drink, though,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, that's what they all say.
Yeah.
And after I disclosed that I was not happy about the situation, I'm not a big fan of smoking. And
Which is a lie. I mean, just like smoking when you're drinking is you smoke.
Yeah.
You're just trying to find a way out of
and,
it.
And then he says he's not addicted and he could quit at any time, all the stuff. And on a first date, you know, you'd think you'd be trying to impress.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, okay, well, I'll be right back. I'm going to go take a smoke. Yeah. So I thought that was unusual. But the night was good. He was good company. We ran into friends. That was a good time, you know. And then at near the end of the night, this one got to me. We're at another bar and he goes, he didn't even say I have to take a phone call. Now it's midnight on like a Friday night. Like you're not doing business.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you need. And he didn't even like look at his phone and go, I gotta like do that thing where you point to the phone. And you go, I gotta take this call. He didn't even do that. We're sitting and we're in silence, but it's comfortable silence. There's music. I'm watching these like Somalian women run some sort of competition. I was very intrigued by the running. I'm like, they're so small. They're so skinny, but so fast. Anyways, he just gets up and he just jets out. He leaves. Now I know. And he pretends like the phone is ringing. I've done this move before when I was like, I don't know, 17.
Yeah.
You know, so he pretends like the phone is ringing. He exits the building and he's gone for about 5 to 7 minutes, comes back and he goes, hey, can I have a piece of gum? And I go, did you just fake a phone? Did you just fake a phone call to have a cigarette? And he kind of giggled. And I go, I'm really not upset about the cigarette. I'm more upset that you thought I was that retarded.
Right.
That I was going to think that is what you were doing was taking a phone call. I'm like, first off, I'm not that drunk. Second of all, I'm not dumb. Like, you're insulting me. And he kind of like laughed and I'm like, how about you take two? Because that's the move. I could be a better criminal. We've talked about this stuff before.
At this point, could he have just said, listen, can we go sit outside and I'm going to smoke cigs and you're going to sit with me?
No, because I didn't want to be around it. Because as I was getting drunker, because there was a lot of places we went to in between the night, whereas when he pulled out a cigarette, I like almost screamed because I was drunk. And I was like, get that shit away from my hair.
Mm.
Because for those that don't know, Jew hair is like a sponge. Mm. Whether it's water, humidity, cigarette smoke, it will absorb whatever is in the atmosphere. So me being around cigarette smoke, and I just washed my hair. It's a big to-do. If I just walk through that, I smell like cigs, and I smell like I'm a smoker. And it just, stale cigarettes is so disgusting.
Yeah, it's really vile.
Disgusting. Right.
Truly vile.
So, and I felt like this was almost like a waste because to me it was like a non-negotiable right from the get where I was like, I can't date a smoker. Like, it's antithetical to everything I'm about. Not that I'm like queen of health and, you know, fitness and everything. I mean, I like to do drugs occasionally, but not drugs that smell bad. I'd rather you do blow, cocaine,
crack, smoke crack,
meth, whatever, but like not ciggies.
Would you rather somebody smoke crack or cigs?
Crack.
If you had to pick one.
How often are they doing crack?
Just when they drink.
Crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at least it does smell. Does it smell?
Oh,
I actually don't know.
It's like cleaner and
cocaine. Oh, it's like industrial cleaner.
Yeah, it's like Windex.
Okay, well,
and
maybe ciggies in that case. But again, that's not a good either way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I felt like, am I being... But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, think about your future life. If this is the first date and he's not even, you know, behave. I don't want to say behave. If he's not even trying to make an effort, it'll only get worse.
Well, it's because he's addicted to cigs and
course.
He's lying and he has to go outside and smoke cigs.
Of course.
You know, I had a friend that I didn't even know smoked cigs for years.
Do I know this person?
I mean, oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I mean, I kind of knew that he passively smoked cigs, but that's not a thing. People don't pass it. Like, you're a smoker or not. Like, there's some people say
especially
they smoke.
Especially now, because there's such a stigma.
Right. Well, I mean, either smoke or you don't. I mean, there is no, like, well, I smoke when I drink. That's a lie. That doesn't exist. And that's kind of the vibe. I believed it during that time. But it turned out that he would, like, buy packs of cigarettes, you know. And I guess it does get stronger, the urge, when he was drinking.
Sure.
But what he would do before he went out is he would smoke a bunch of cigs and then take a shower and then go out, leave the cigs at home, and then come home and smoke a bunch of more cigs.
You just sandwich it?
He would sandwich it. And I asked him, like, don't you want to, like, because I smoked cigs at one point too, and I, like, couldn't do that. I was like, if I'm drinking, I got to go out and have a smoke.
What is the effect? It just, I don't understand why they pair together. Does it make the...
It's just an addictive substance.
No, but I mean, like, what is the... does it make you feel... Does it prolong the drunk?
A brain chemistry thing. No, it just makes you... Nicotine is just a stimulant, and it makes you feel good.
Okay, but it pairs well with alcohol.
I think the alcohol makes the urge stronger for some reason.
Okay. But I still smoke. It would be a good pair because one's an upper, one's a downer sort of thing.
Maybe. You know? I mean, it's just the only way I can describe it is a brain chemistry thing. I smoked more when I was drinking, but I still smoke cigs.
Yeah.
I was a smoker.
Sure.
Totally. So I don't know, but I had no idea for years he pulled this off, and it almost made me go, whoa, that is, I mean, you are a psychopath. Like, you are good at this. You're a good liar.
Yeah.
If you're able to pull something like that out. I never smelled it, except when, you know, like, sometimes you would smoke one.
So how did he finally disclose that he was, in fact...
Well, I just kind of pieced it together. And he tried giving me these lies, like, oh, I don't, you know, I only smoke when I drink. And I go, do you smoke? You're just a smoker. He goes, yeah, I just smoke cigs. And then told me about his habits and his rituals of... He would, like, buy a pack, and he didn't want to smoke. So he would buy a pack and maybe smoke 3 cigs in one night, you know, when he got home from the bar, and then throw them in the fire afterwards and burn the rest of the pack and the other 17 cigs.
Well, that's just a waste of money.
It is. I couldn't believe it. But this kid's rich, so he doesn't care. Money's of no option.
I think I know who this is. I won't guess, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you afterwards.
Yeah,
but
I'm pretty sure.
I mean,
sure
he's not like a millionaire, but he's very comfortable. So, like, he's blowing $7. It's not going to be a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I was thinking about it, and I was, it's one of those things where, you know, initially I was like, absolutely not. But then I was thinking, think about it on it. You've been on one date in a year. There's really not a lot of options for you. This guy is funny. He's not bad looking. Could I make it work? And I'm like, what sort of, like, voodoo am I trying to do on my mind where I'm trying to convince myself that I'm okay with smoking because I'm not okay with it? Do you have any things that are, like, non-negotiable? Yeah, negotiables.
I mean, are you talking, like, habits or, like, physical attributes or...
No, let's keep it in the realm of habits, something. So not like, oh, I don't like ugly chicks. Like, you know, that's a non-negotiable. She's ugly as hell. But, like, you know, something
that you
are...
I mean, those have slipped
in
too. I wouldn't even discount that.
I know, but say someone that... Something... Say you like somebody and then you find out something about them and then you're like, I can't proceed.
Oh, man. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think, like, the first thing that popped into my head was if they were very, very religious, that might be a deal breaker.
I think you would know right off the bat, though.
And not even like the one that comes to mind. I'm afraid to even say it because I've seen people get harassed for this. But if they were like a Scientologist, that would make me go, like even if they were like, oh, I'm a born again Christian or something, I'd be like, okay, I think I could deal with that.
Right.
You just know you're not getting like, you know, butt stuff or anything. Or actually, you might be more liable to get butt stuff, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I think if I heard that they were a Scientologist, I don't think it'd be a deal breaker though. I don't know. I've met Scientologists, they're very nice people. Mormon, same thing. That would be another one that would kind of.
But would you be a non-negotiable for them? Like, if you were not a Mormon, and they were.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, in this, you know, made up scenario that we're playing right now. But I mean, I've known Scientologists and I've known Mormons, and they've all been very fine people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For some reason, that's the first one that popped into my head.
Yeah, religion.
But I don't know if it would be non-negotiable. I think I might be able to get over it depending on how much I like the person.
I can't in regards to religion just because I've been through it now twice. I need to learn my lesson that it's going to be problematic for them. Now, it's funny because it's not really problematic for me because mm-hmm. I don't really care what you believe. But usually if they're into religion, they're going to have an issue with it. Their family will have an issue with it. And it will just blow up in your face like it has the last couple times.
Many times. Yeah.
So I think I just need to learn my lesson when it comes to religion. But yeah, I didn't even think smoking was on the table because smoking is just, it seems like it's pretty stigmatized. Like people, most people think it's gross. You know, it doesn't really, a lot of people don't think it's cool anymore. Like when we were kids, I think when we were in high school, I think there was still.
Oh,
like,
I still think smoking's cool.
Okay, well.
It looks awesome. Like there's something very Americana about seeing a guy, you know, with a pack of cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve, you know, with a white t-shirt. Well, it depends on the guy, but even like, so what are you thinking when you see like a, when you go, oh, that would be really bad. Because I'm thinking like a greaser, like with a white t-shirt, blue jeans, cigarette pack rolled
up. Yeah, but again, that's the image that is usually, that's never who's smoking. You know what I mean?
It is. I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right. There's definitely more of other.
It's like the bar back that, you know, has a 5-minute break and has a few missing teeth.
But
not
what does
always.
He look like?
He's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's worse because also I like white trash smoking too is a good visual. Like if they're wearing a cowboy hat or something or like Confederate flag shorts or something yeah. and they're smoking
you like
and
that
you
look?
Just go, yeah, that's a good look. It looks cool.
I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. And I just feel like it's so, again, I do. Here's the thing, and I feel hypocritical saying this because I do things that are disrespectful to my body. You know what I mean? Like in terms of, you know, drinking or, you know, take Adderall or something like that. But when I see someone who's smoking, I just feel like they have no regard for their physical health. And there's nothing good that comes from smoking. Like, it's bad for your heart. It's bad for your brain. It's bad for your arteries. It's bad for your veins. It's bad for everything. You know, it causes you know, vasoconstriction, cancer. Like, there's nothing good that comes from it. Whereas, like, weed, yeah, it's not the best to be smoking something, but at least there's some benefits to it. You know, this, that, and the other. And typically people who smoke weed, there are people that smoke weed too much, but I don't think that there's anybody that's really addicted to marijuana. Like, they're addicted to cigarettes.
Yeah,
that's
definitely not a physical addiction anyways.
It is different.
They have a mental addiction, probably.
But here's the thing, though. I wouldn't be jazzed about someone who's constantly smoking marijuana either. You know what I mean?
No,
someone who needed to
smoke
marijuana or anything where they're like, I need this or I can't function or I, you know, anything like that. I need alcohol to get through my day. That's no thank you.
Right, so, right.
Anybody who has some sort of dependency on a substance is going to be a no
sure.
for me. So.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and that's a good point with marijuana, too, because marijuana gets a pass for mm-hmm. some reason, especially now. Like, it's not a, you know, I don't think it's a, I consider it on par with alcohol, but I don't drink all that. I don't wake up and have a shot.
Yeah.
That would be a problem, just like, I think it's an issue that some people get up and just start smoking marijuana. And they say it's a medicine as opposed to, I know it does, and science is finding that it does have some
medicinal properties. Yeah.
But you need to feel reality. You need yeah. to not be high all the time. It's not a good, you have to feel baseline every once in a while in order to appreciate yeah. life. When you're just stoned all the time, that becomes your baseline. Then you're going to, I mean, you're messing with your brain chemistry. Some of these kids are smoking pot in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain's still growing.
Developing, yeah.
You're getting in THC and all this other crap into your brain. Who knows what it's doing? I'm sure right. it's not great for a growing brain. I don't think you should smoke pot until you're older. Now, nobody follows that advice, of course.
Sure.
But I don't think it's a good thing. But I've seen tons of people. I was like that. I smoked so much weed that I got so comfortable. And I thought that I was fine. I thought my life was okay. It was very bad.
It was a mess.
My life. I mean, it was, you know, I went to school for college for, God.
8 years.
I graduated high school in 2003. I graduated USF in 2011. How long is that?
8 years.
8 years. I'm not Van Wilder. I'm not a doctor. I shouldn't have went to school that long. And I attribute some of that to marijuana because I just got like, oh, this is fine.
Complacent.
You know, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I was very numb and very, medicated, and I was, I guess, having a good time trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
but that was not good that I was smoking that much pot at that age. And then when I stopped, I actually started doing things. I started the podcast. I started doing art and
now,
stuff
was
like
there
that.
A hump of anxiety that you had to get over when you stopped smoking
no,
weed?
No, not really. I mean, because you don't really have that physical dependence on it. You have the mental, like, I want to smoke pot, but I don't have to.
There's not a physiological dependence on it.
Right, right. So it really wasn't that big of a deal to...
But did you want... But then, I mean, you said you were very complacent, even though you shouldn't have been. But when you stopped smoking weed and you started to feel just the reality of life, that didn't give you more anxiety?
I mean, I'm sure it did. I'm a pretty anxious person, as it is, even when I was smoking pot, so...
And maybe you just made the commitment where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, and I did. I just decided, well, I started accomplishing things. And then I was like, okay, I need to take a break from this. And I'd like to come back to marijuana eventually, because it was, you know, it brought a lot to my life. I mean, it makes movies funnier, it makes sex better, it does...
Yeah.
Thanks for you.
Okay.
But I just feel like I'm just not in a position to do that right now. I got too much crap to do.
And that's the thing that pulls people out of a lot of things, I think, is exactly what you mentioned, which is momentum. Mm-hmm. Once you get a little bit of momentum, you know, that's how people, you know, turn their life around, whether it's losing a bunch of weight or accomplishing something career-wise or whatever it is. Like, once you kind of get that ball, that momentum going, you can really be unstoppable.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. I started, I'm still not where I want to be many years later, but things at least started to happen.
Yeah. And you don't smoke weed at all, do you? Or
no,
like very rarely?
I can't remember the last time I smoked pot. I do have some gummy bear things that I will take.
You call them marijuana tablets, which
marijuana
just sounds
tablets.
So unsexy.
You know where that's from? That's from Mean Girls.
Oh, is it?
That's from Tim Meadows, where he's like, has your teacher ever given you marijuana or marijuana tablets or something? I know you said marijuana tablets and it cracked me up, but that's where I came from. But so I will take them very sparingly. I mean, one every couple months, maybe.
Okay.
If I have a Sunday that I just want to, I'm not doing anything and I want to go to bed early, start Monday off right.
Yeah.
And I'll take it and I will have a panic attack eventually where I go, I'm too stoned. This is not good. And they're weak ass tablets.
Yeah, but you're not used to it.
I'm just not used to it. So now I just kind of sit there, wait for the panic. I can control the panic attack now, though. I know when it's coming and I can calm myself down. I turn off the TV, I turn off the lights, and I go to bed.
Yeah.
And I have a terrific, terrific night's sleep that night. Oh my God. It's
knocks
it's
you
great.
Out. I hear CBD is, I mean, I need to start. I have used CBD, but.
I've tried CBD and I think I talked myself into
there's more
that
placebo
it works.
For you.
But I don't know. I just feel like it might be a placebo.
Okay.
When it comes down to it. But I don't know. Maybe not.
All right.
I kind of stopped using it because I don't want to spend money on it. Mm. It's very expensive.
Yeah, yeah. And you can't buy it on Amazon, I realized.
Yeah,
I looked
you
up
can't.
CBD
you
stuff.
Can get
you
hemp
can't.
Oil.
You
I don't
can't.
Know why. I guess it's states, some states or something.
Yeah, but I thought it was federally illegal, but what do I know? And I it is know. Really funny. And I remember when we used to do Stay Woke Together, you'd have all these people who are, no offense if you're listening, but they'd be like these degenerates that they're just stoners. They don't do anything, don't care about anything. Oh, I just want to get high all day. As soon as you start asking questions on air about marijuana, laws and regulations, friggin' phones light up. They're like, you can have 60 grams or less. It's not intended to distribute. They're goddamn lawyers. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you only like apply that sort of energy to the rest of your life, you might be somebody someday and you won't be working at Dollar Tree anymore.
Yeah. They'd rather not do that. And that's what I'm saying.
So
like,
they have the potential. They just don't have the drive.
I remember, I think it was Fruit Loop that called in. He used to call in to us a lot. And I kind of scolded him because seemed like a bright kid. You know, he just loved marijuana. And I totally get it. I understand that point of view.
Yeah.
It's just not good for you all the time. It should be used sparingly.
Like anything.
It shouldn't become part of your personality. You shouldn't be weed guy. If you're in high school and you're listening to this and you're weed guy, you need to find another route ASAP because that is not the guy you want to be. You don't make it just like you don't want to be Trump guy. You don't want to be Bernie guy. You don't want to make an ideology your personality. That is a bad, bad move. You're one dimensional. Nobody will respect you. You need to go a different route. But he called in and I don't know. I forget where I was going with this, but I just remember scolding him and being like, you need to do something
but
else.
I think he was pretty young, right? Like 21.
He's like 19 or 20 or something.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, habits beget more habits and it's just, it's not good. And what it does is it fucks up your future because like much like you, no offense, but you admitted it, you didn't get the ball rolling for 8 years.
Yeah. And I've heard Joe Rogan say it too. We're like, I just get more productive when I smoke pot.
Yeah.
But it's just like a girl with, with short hair, like a pretty girl with short hair. And you go, she's beautiful. And yeah, but if she had long hair, she'd be prettier. Same thing with pot. Like, but, you would, Joe Rogan is very, very successful. Obviously, he's done everything right. So I'm not, maybe he is a bad example, but you're not Joe Rogan.
He did the reverse, though. I don't think he was, and I could be wrong, but I don't think he was like a crazy pothead and then became successful.
I think he always, well, I don't know.
I think he, I don't know if he smokes, and I don't know how much he smokes and stuff like that, but I know that he was always very big into like martial arts and comedy, which you have to be very, very disciplined to do. Mm. So, I mean, mm-hmm. some people can pull it off, you know, but yeah. again, if weed is, but weed isn't his life. You know, his mm-hmm. life is podcasting, comedy, fighting, whatever, et cetera. So, yeah. you know. For That's those true. Of you who want to be weed guy and you use Joe Rogan, let me just remind you, you're not Joe Rogan. So
you're
relax. But anyways, we're about to start the week, mm-hmm. 4-day week, which would be nice. So yeah. we start tomorrow is going to be Tuesday, but this will be coming out tomorrow. So that's the word. I hope you guys have a great week and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah, let me just preface this. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. Same with Instagram. And hmbradio.com is my website. Please check that out. My podcast over there. Anna's on it all the time. So very rarely is she not. So if you like Anna, she's there. And you'll get to know me a little bit. That would be cool. I think that's it.
Cool.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.